A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustling up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag to your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Man of Mindsets podcast. I am your host, Xavier, sitting here with the wonderful D. What up?
What's up? How you doing today, Zay?
I'm doing good as usual. You know, we got another dope episode. You know, I like to get right to it. I'm not like a small talk person. I like to get right to it. We got another dope episode. We've been excited to get this episode done. What's up?
Got the most important thing. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, rate the show, leave a comment.
Right.
You know, show some love for the show.
Show some love. Yeah, we need all that. We need to try to get them subscribers up, those ratings up, those reviews up, all those things. So, like D said, if y'all could do that, we would greatly appreciate it. But getting right into the show, like I said, we've been trying to get this episode done for a while now. How long has it been, D?
It's been at least like since the beginning of the year.
Really?
It's been a couple weeks in the making.
Okay. We're here now. So we get it. So I'm going to introduce y'all to her. Name is Morgan. She's a nurse practitioner. We're extremely excited to have her on the show. It's going to be a dope episode. So welcome to the show, Morgan.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We excited to have, like I said, this is something we've been wanting to get done for a while. I know Deanna, she's been like, yeah, we got to get her on the show. We got to get her on. I'm like, let's do it.
We got to get a little bit of diversity. You know, we got to touch on some different subjects. And I think Morgan going to bring a ton of value to today's show.
You're right. So let's get straight to it. So for the people who may not be familiar with you, I know you huge on Instagram. So for the people that ain't paying attention, that ain't seeing you. You popping on the ground. Do you mind just giving some background to let our listeners know who you are? What do you do? All of this stuff.
Yeah. So my name is Morgan. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner. I've been in nursing for almost nine years in June. I'm from Baltimore born and raised, and that's pretty much me. Okay. I own my own practice. Me and my preceptor, well, he was my preceptor, now he's my coworker.
What's a preceptor?
So when you're in nurse practitioner school, you follow behind another nurse practitioner or physician to get training. So we actually used to work together as nurses. He was my charge nurse. And then when he became a nurse practitioner, a psych nurse practitioner, he trained me.
Oh,
yeah,
that's dope. And that's a full circle moment.
Yeah. So I want to actually, like, what made you actually decide to get into nursing? Like, but 9 years ago when you were trying to make that decision, trying to figure out, you know, what you want to do in life, choose a career path, why nursing?
So my mom used to work at one of the biggest hospitals in Maryland, but she wasn't a nurse herself. She still isn't. So what my mom does is HR, and my mom worked in anesthesia and critical care medicine. So I actually wanted to be a CRNA, a nurse anesthetist, you know, in the OR, they put people to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I got in the OR and I was like, I don't know if I like this, but I still want to be a nurse. So my first kind of intro was working there as a summer intern. And then I got there and I was like, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I know that I like this. So I kind of just was like, okay, well, I want to be a nurse. So I decided, like, I know I wanted to be a CRNA at one point, but I was like, I'm not sure if I really want to work in the ICU. And in order to be a nurse anesthetist, you have to work in the ICU. And it was definitely like the mouth and the spit and everything for me, because you had to like intubate people. And I was like, this isn't my vibe. So, yeah.
So, I want to ask, so, excuse me. So, you said you own your own practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do, like, I'm so confused. Like, how does that, mm-hmm. how does that happen?
So, it's actually kind of easy to own your own practice. Like, surprisingly, there's, like, no type of, like, not really barriers, but, like, anyone can open up their own practice. Even you could decide to open up a mental health practice. Now, you just need people in positions that can do the work in order to run it. So, you could open up one, and you could hire me as the psych nurse practitioner, you know, to see the patients, depending right. on what you want. Or you could, you know, have people do medication management and therapy. So, you know, as a psych nurse practitioner, I can do therapy. I usually don't because it's not really revenue. doesn't make sense revenue-wise. But all you have to do is hire the people in the correct place.
Right, that's simple.
Mm-hmm. So when did you make that, I guess, call it transition? Like after being a nurse for X amount of years, when you're like, I'm going to open up a practice?
Well, I kind of decided about the practice after I already became a psych nurse practitioner. Like, mm-hmm. I really wasn't in, like, an entrepreneurial mindset at all, mm-hmm. like, when I was in school. And I think that at first I had to get a job that I really didn't like with a boss that I really didn't like to decide this ain't it. And I want to work for myself. I want to decide when I want to go to work. And, you know, I want to have more control over what I prescribe my patients and kind of just do my own thing.
I like that because, you know, with the medical field, it is typically when people think of it like 9 to 5 or, you know, just like you have to be up under someone. So it's good to see you take it into your own hands and actually start a business with it.
Yeah.
No, that's dope. And I like it so much because, you know, we talk about business entrepreneurship all the time, but I like to see when people get it, they go a different route, what is then a 9 to 5 or a specific niche career field, because You could still be an entrepreneur and do that thing too. I think so many people get it twisted. They feel like they got to go one route.
Exactly.
And I got to be a full-time entrepreneur. I got to be a full-time career 9 to 5 hustler. And I like that you balancing both and you doing it well. I see she got the iced out rollie on. I see everything.
You know what?
I see she got the iced out rollie. She's shining. It's like, I know I love to see it. Like that's extremely dope to me for real. Like, but what, I want to ask you this, like, as far as like, having a business mentality, because you said you didn't always have that. So when did that click in? Like the entrepreneurial stuff, you could say, I could do this too on the side, not just this right here.
So I worked for a company.
Uh-oh, I feel like this one is...
No, I'm not going to say the name. I worked for a company that became extremely successful within like 6 months. And I saw how well they kind of like crossed over almost overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean by crossover?
Like, I mean, going from like being in like 5 or 10 states to being in almost all 50.
Overnight.
And I mean, the revenue, they ended up cutting our pay. But they ended up cutting our pay. But seeing how much revenue they were able to generate, and it was like almost overnight. And part of it was because of the pandemic. And it seemed like every single day we were getting like more and more patients. My schedule was getting booked like more and more out. And then I started to add up the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this math isn't mathing for me. Because I'm like, how are you making this much? And then I'm taking home this much. But I know other nurse practitioners because we talk and a lot of us are super transparent about pay. And I'm like, I'm making like 1/3 of what I should be making or what I could be making. And I was like, yeah, this ain't it. I think it's time to go.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That's all you need. And I want to ask you, kind of going back to the practice part, is there a specific like niche when starting a practice that makes it more profitable than others? Or can you really just dive into whatever you're interested in and start the practice?
Well, there's so many different laws in different states. And it's so funny because I have friends in Maryland and Florida that opened up their own med spa. Med spas are huge. You can make so much money with med spas. But one of my friends moved, and like in California and Florida, there's certain laws. Like you have to, for example, you can only own a certain portion if you're a nurse. Like a physician has to own a certain portion. And then if you're in a full practice authority state, meaning the nurse practitioner has full authority to practice and doesn't need a supervising physician.
Mm-hmm.
So you really kind of have to learn that. And then sometimes you have to build those relationships because like people are still kind of shocked about my collaborating physician. I got to send her this episode. Hey, Dr. Jones. but I absolutely love her. And it was really important to me to find like a Black supervising physician, a Black woman who was kind of understanding, like kind of like my own treatment philosophies, that wouldn't like kind of question everything that I do. And was that like kind of like super in line with what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And we have a great working relationship. I actually just emailed her yesterday. So
good to hear. Yeah. Mm. One more question though. Mm-hmm. And with your practice, was is it a physical location?
Yes. I just am not there.
So I'm like, wait, because you out here traveling and doing what you do.
Yeah, it's funny because Quentin actually really, really likes to go into the office. Bless his soul. I think he's a little bit more like older school. But my patients, they don't like to come in, which is fine. And I'm really excited because a lot of my patients wouldn't be able to probably come in. They have a lot of things going on like in their own lives. Some of them are moms. Some of them are dads. You know, some of them work 9 to 5. So it's like most practitioners have a 9 to 5 schedule. So it's like, how would they even get mental health treatment if you got to take off work every time you got to come see me to get your meds?
Right.
So
what's some of the biggest misconceptions as far as being a nurse? Because I know, at least for me, I was ignorant enough. I always thought, at least growing up, I thought being a nurse was like a woman's job for real. I didn't know men like... I didn't know. Now I know for real. But now, like, I know a lot of guys that's going into that career field, and I'll be like, wow, I didn't know men did that. Like, this whole, like, so I know that's one misconception that I had.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had that, because I only seen it's women like do it growing up. So I didn't know men, like, became nurses. So when I started getting older and meet guys that was, like, going to the nursing field, I'm like, you a nurse? As a guy, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. So, like, what are some other misconceptions, like, regarding being a nurse?
That's a good one. I'm trying to think. So as far as like misconceptions, I think the first one is that we all make a ton of money. Uh-oh. And that's one of like, that's one thing I want y'all to ask me and like dive into.
Oh yeah. Let's go.
Because we got to get into the money. Cause a lot of people will be like, I just want to know how I'm going to make more money. And I'm like, you don't really want me to tell you that because you're going to have to get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have to leave your job.
Why is that? What do you mean?
You want me to answer that?
Yes.
Because you know my ADHD brain. My bad. But definitely about the misconception. So first, when you talk about nursing, not all of us make a bunch of money. So a lot of times in the South, especially nurses and in Texas, no shade. I was just talking about this on TikTok today. I would not get sick here. If I got sick, I'm going to get airlifted out.
Word.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Y'all gotta look up the ratios, the average ratios that you have here. Like the average nurse to patient ratios. In Texas, they do not exist.
Oh my God.
They don't.
Oh damn.
So you usually have ratios in ICU, OR, PACU, like when you're recovering. Mm-hmm. But like I worked in Texas before doing ped psych, never again. Never again.
So with that being said, so let's say if you is thinking about being a nurse, that means Texas is probably a good state to become a nurse in, right? If it's not.
No.
Yes and no. Because I'm going to tell you something. Nurses that come out of Texas, New York, and Florida, those are some of the best nurses I've ever worked with.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, they know how to hold their own. Mm-hmm. Like if you make it out of nursing school from one of those states, it's like your multitasking, your ability to critically think is like out there.
Right.
Because you have to constantly like be evaluating and constantly be like reevaluating every single patient when you have 7 and 8 med mm-hmm. surge patients or 14 and 16 psych patients. Like it just does something to you.
Mm. So hold on. We gotta get to the money part. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this was what I was going to ask you, because I know you said online, is specific states that are more profitable or the most profitable states to be a nurse in?
Yes.
I just wanted to say what those states were.
Oh, absolutely. So number one is going to be California.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is California. So what a lot of nurses that I know do is that they'll have a PRN job in Cali. Now, this is the money right here.
What's PRN? What does that mean?
As needed. You basically work when you want to work.
Oh, man.
So I have a friend, we can call him, we'll call him George.
Okay.
George and I went to school together, psych and P school. And George still has not taken his licensing exams because George made $98 per hour base rate in California.
So he don't even care to get his license.
Exactly. And George has multiple hustles. So like George has vending machines and he has all these different things. He does Airbnb. And so I was like, so you still haven't taken your exam? And he was like, no. I said, are you going to?
Nope.
He said, I'm going to think about it.
I'm going to think about it.
Right.
$98 enough? So
as the base, not even adding in like differentials, mm-hmm. like weekend, night shift, holiday, like $98 per hour flat. Flat.
Yeah, you could.
No, this was before. Like Cali has always had, like especially Northern Cali, that's why people don't live there. Like I had a homegirl who still lives in Atlanta, catches a Southwest flight, goes and works 6 days, and then comes back home. I'm giving y'all so much game, right?
Let's talk about the money part, because as you know, this millionaire mindset, everybody want to talk about the money. How can I make more money? How to get to the bag? Blah blah blah, all that. Mm-hmm. So like, you said, I kind of confused me a little bit. You said, mm-hmm. what's up?
He went from making $30 an hour to $200 an hour.
Who?
200 plus.
Wait. Well, how we get to this part?
You ain't got all the
money. Don't worry about the money.
You trying to get money.
All right, you went from $30 an hour to $200. All right, go ahead. How you get from 30 to 200?
Okay, I'm going to take you step by step. So first, when I was making $30 an hour, I was working as a floor nurse in psych in Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. So I had applied for a house supervisor position. So basically, I was running the hospital at night. So it was like an administrative role, but I was working night shift. Then I made $55 per hour doing that. So when I was doing that, I was in school studying when I was at work.
Right.
Every free second that I got. And I was working that job usually on weekends because my clinical was during the week, like Monday through Thursday. So when I left that job and I transitioned, when I first became a psych NP, I was making $90 per hour. So then I started doing the math. And when I look at the math, like, for example, how much we charge at our practice, like a new eval is $300, right? I can do an eval in 45 minutes, sometimes 30, depending on if the patient wants to talk or not. That's right. Up to them. So you think like you charge $300 in 45 minutes. Can I fit in another follow-up visit that's going to be $150 in that time? So sometimes you can make, well, I can make $450 in 1 hour. I'm telling you, you got to add it up. Because when, especially like family nurse practitioners right now aren't making that much money. So when they tell me that, I say, well, how much do you make your job? And they can't tell me. And I say, that's the first step of figuring out why you're not being paid your worth, is that you haven't proven to your employer that you know your worth. Why would I pay you more if you don't know how much you should make?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
It makes sense. Damn, I didn't know. Man, like I said, I'm ignorant to a lot of this stuff. I didn't know nurses can make that much.
So how many years in a game do you think somebody needs before they can be on that level of making $400 an hour?
Well, if you want the quick version, you can always just open up your own practice. But again, you still have to pay the practitioners. So I cut out the middleman. Well, me and Quentin cut out the middleman, and we just basically directly serve. Now, I think that for him and for I, what's more important to me other than making money is having people in place so that I can actually enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to me to have a biller and coder. And it's important to me to have an office assistant so that I'm not just like constantly dealing with like the day-to-day things. So we have a split. I mean, I don't make the straight $450 for each hour. You know, it's a percentage split with the practice so that we can, you know, pay the bills. But
right.
That's
still
really good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. But like you said early on, you said a lot of nurses don't make as much. Let's talk about that and the reasons behind that and how can they elevate them lives, they want to elevate their income, all that stuff.
Okay. So the family nurse practitioners, they usually don't make that much money. because again, they don't understand how much they bring in. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, so one of my business partners is a family nurse practitioner. He runs his own practice. So he does a concierge medicine practice. So that means like, if you call him and you say, you know, I want XYZ, he'll either do a telehealth appointment with you or he'll come to you. Mm-hmm. For the most part, because he's my provider too, he'll come to me like every 3 months to continue all my scripts that he has me on. So for him, like if he was to go to a job, even though I know he ain't going to a job anymore, you know, he would sit down and say, okay, these are the RVUs that I bring in. So that's the revenue units that you basically make. So let's say you work and you do pain management. So you would look and see what the charge is that you're charging the insurance company and see how much you're making from those charges. So if you know that a certain, like, for example, I'm going to use Site because that's what I know. So if I know what my billing codes are and what I'm charging for the patients, that's how I know. And I look at how many times I'm charging that per day. That's how I know what revenue I have coming in.
Oh, you want to go?
I was going to say, this is a lot of game, especially for a lot of younger people that's trying to be nurse, because you definitely probably not going to know all this, because it takes experience to figure all this stuff out. Mm-hmm. You might just be getting way underpaid the first 5 years just because you don't know the right information for real.
But that's for nurse practitioners. Like, okay. For nurses, I feel like, depending on where you are, you're just going to make some people are just going to make less money. Like, honestly, some states are just shameful in how they pay their nurses, like Alabama, Louisiana,
Mississippi, probably.
Yeah. The pay is not great. And then there's no mandated ratio. So like y'all see all the stuff that's going on in the news about all these nurses that's going to jail and getting convicted because they took unsafe assignments, man. Or they were basically given like impossible tasks. So they did what they could to basically take care of the patients that they had, which is admirable, believe me. But, right. You know, we have to start fighting for things like safe patient ratios and things that are going to lead to better outcomes because our patients deserve it.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
Definitely. So I wanted to ask you because now we don't talk about the money. We see you doing good. You living good. Things is great. So I want to talk about like the level up, the mindset. And it doesn't have to come from strictly a medical standpoint, but just a mindset standpoint, but you know, what's the mentality behind like not getting complacent with just like making a bare minimum or, you know, just making a little something, but actually continuing to level up in your career field and in your life?
I think, and this isn't even just for nurses or nurse practitioners, but it's the people that you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. Like it's, when you're in a certain place, you just can't do things that, you know, you used to do. And it's so funny because I was talking to one of my girlfriends today, and it's like all this foolishness going on TikTok right now with nurses and stuff. And I was like, at this big age, drama is just so embarrassing. Like, girl, get some money. Like, what about the money? Where is the part about the money? And I'm just like, you know, when you have certain people in your life, like, people are just not going to let you get like unfocused. They're just not. So I think it's starting with who you surround yourself with and then how you envision yourself. Like every single month I look at my goals, and that's part of the things that like I go over with my therapist. Yes, I'm in therapy. I think everybody should be in therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm in therapy to deal with people that should be. But that's something that me and my therapist talk about. And she always asks me like, well, where do you see yourself in this amount of time or this amount of time? And, you know, tell me what that looks like for you. Like where, you know, what are you doing to get there? So I think that we have to constantly do things like, it's people that, you know, we put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We face things that we're afraid of. Like, you know, I don't even like public speaking like this. Like, like I'm like, this is going to be recorded. Like, y'all don't see me. And I was terrified to do this, but I still put myself out there, and you have to just do things like that.
Get out your comfort zone.
You definitely do.
That's super important. That's funny because there's a lot of people that when they come on the show afterwards, they be like, man, I hate doing stuff like this. I was like nervous as hell, but he was like, it was cool though. I'm like, yeah, it's not. When you do it, once you jump in the fire, you there now. It's like, you gotta be cool.
I'm scared because I'm sweating, y'all. I don't know if y'all can see me on YouTube, but don't judge me.
So going into like the importance of who you surround yourself with, for the people that's listening, let them know, like, what's the ideal type of people you need to have in your circle if you're really trying to level up? Like, Like, what are those qualities or characteristics going to look like?
Y'all not going to like this.
Be honest.
Be honest with us. Be honest with us.
You gotta start hanging. Like, I had made this comment and this post like a while ago. I said, if you don't have friends that you can go to, not nobody you can go with drama or gossip. If you have friends that you can't talk to and say, I need $10,000, I need $15,000, this is this plan I have, you in the wrong circles. The wrong circles.
Right, and they ain't gonna like this.
No. And it's like, you know, you have to put yourself in spaces where you're with people who are smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we're uncomfortable to be in rooms with people who know more than us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm telling you, you gotta find those rooms. And it's not gonna be in clubs.
Mm.
It's not gonna sometimes be on social media.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going to business conferences. It's yep. going to, you know, places that you might not necessarily be comfortable. It might be, you know, putting yourself into like being a nurse and going to a nurse practitioner conference. Like it's going to the next level up and committing to what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
And that's practical
you
advice.
Commit to it. Because, you know, a lot of people do a bunch of talk. Oh, I want to be this. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we hearing the same old speech for like 5 years. But it's all about the actually committing to it.
The mm-hmm. talking easy. It don't cost you nothing to talk. No energy.
Thanks.
No, talking is energy a little bit. But I mean, like, it ain't that much energy. It don't cost you no money, nothing like that. So that's the easiest thing to do is just to say what you're going to do. And most people got good intentions. It's just mm-hmm. they lazy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. Like, so I would say like being like kind of lazy in your career as a nurse, like what would you say like the outcome of that's going to be like if you just going through it, not really like doing your job how you should be?
Well, I mean, as evidenced by what's going on right now, you might lose your license. I mean, you know, if you're really going through and you're lazy, that's a dangerous nurse.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because, you know, you have people's lives in your hands. And I tell people all that all the time because it's like now, like the new trend is being a psych nurse practitioner. And I'm like, these are still people's lives,
mm-hmm.
you know? And especially in psych right now, there's a lot of people who are kind of jumping in who don't have any psych experience, which I don't recommend. I mean, I had 5 years of psych experience before I even applied to psych NP school. So a lot of people are trying to apply for these programs, don't have experience, and then they're like, they get out and they're like, I don't know what to do or how to treat these patients, mm-hmm. and I don't know how to do my job, which is scary because you only get like 675 hours in school. So then when you get out, you don't know what to do.
Mm.
That's scary.
That's extremely scary. And I had another question, but before we go to that, we are going to go into our first sponsor. This episode is also sponsored by The Morning Meetup. One thing all successful people have in common is strong connections. If you're trying to break into the entrepreneurial world, you're looking to network with like-minded individuals, or you're looking to take your business to the next level, currently entrepreneurs from all across the country meet up every morning for a daily meeting from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern to start the day off right. If you want to join this community, there's never been a better time to try it out because for a limited time only, you can start a 7-day trial for just $1. If you're looking to get started with The Morning Meetup, you can go to www.themorningmeetup.com/$1 trial. And like as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast episode. The reason I think this episode is so important, in my opinion, because I know specifically we're talking about our people, Black people. Things got to look good to us for us to want to actually do it. So when I had somebody, you could be a damn train driver. But if you look at you fly with it, you know what I'm saying? You making money, you stable. Mm-hmm. People will be like, damn, I want to be a train driver now. So mm-hmm. with you being a nurse practitioner, you make it look good. Like, you know, like I said, you mm-hmm. you shine and you can tell your life on point. You living. I think that's dope for younger people to see. And like I say, dang, I could be a nurse and still be financially stable, financially mm-hmm. independent. So this is why I think this episode is so important. That's why it was important to have you on so people could see this and hear what you're saying, hear the game, all that good mm-hmm. stuff. So yeah, that's, mm-hmm. I just want to touch on that. Could you go ahead, D?
No, I love that because I definitely think you're a role model. Like I know a lot, you're welcome. I know a lot of girls though who took the medical route, mm-hmm. like coming out of high school mm-hmm. or just as we come into contact, but it's like, I know a lot of them don't really have someone who makes it look good.
Make it look good.
And, you know, gives out information, gives out quality information, and shows them, like, it's possible to live a dope lifestyle and still have a practical job and still be doing something that, you know, touches other people. But something you said on Instagram, girl.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Whew, when I saw this tweet, I'm like, she's talking. You said, struggle is not my birthright. And I was... Okay, you got to talk on that. I want you to break down the mentality behind that tweet. Struggle is not my birthright.
So first, I got to give credit. I never want to take credit for something that's not mine. So Steven, if you watching this, hey boo. so I heard that, and I used to do a morning meditation room on Clubhouse every single day. And what we would say as we were closing the room is we would talk about, you know, things we were grateful for. We would talk about, like, struggles we were having, things like that. And he would always say that. He said, struggle is not my birthright. And I think that especially as Black women, we think that in order to have nice things, in order to enjoy the fruits of our labor, that we have to have struggle. And that's just, that's not my lifestyle. I don't feel like I should struggle. I have what I think most days is a good life. Like I don't stress at work. I told people in the most respectful way that I can, I will fire patients that bring me stress and try to stress me out or I feel like it are not a good fit. Cause I don't move like that. I don't move around anyone else but myself. And I just refuse to bring myself out of character, regardless of how much money anything is associated with. So when I say struggle is not my birthright, I mean, I deserve, and I affirm that I deserve to have a good life without any type of barriers or prerequisites.
Right.
For that.
Is that a mentality you always had, or is that something you had to learn over time?
Oh, no, I had to learn that. I had to learn that because I even felt like that in relationships. Like I found myself with people who I felt like I had to struggle with. Like, and I had to prove myself in order to be worthy. I'm already worthy. I am the prize. Period. I'm single. Ain't no ring on this finger, but I am the prize. Okay. That's why I'm single. Cause I know.
talk
shameless
that talk.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
Talk that talk. We love all that. We love all that here. And that's, I asked that because I feel like, there's a relearning process that most of us have to go through because you come up, depending on your environment, how you came up, you will feel like, man, I'm not deserving of this. Even when you start winning, like if you go or broke, you start getting wins, you be like, man, I feel like for some reason, I feel like I don't really deserve this, but you do for real. Especially when you worked hard for it.
Yep.
You deserve every reward you get for real. But it's hard. They call it what, survivor's remorse? When you make it, that's what they call it, survivor's remorse. You kind of feel like, I know me personally, I ain't never had this shit. I feel like, hey,
Right.
I feel like, and I'm supposed to be here. I don't care what nobody say. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But go ahead. Do y'all see you want to say something?
No, I was going to like that because I like that you brought up, you talked about the work side of it, but then you brought up the relationship part. And I think a lot of people also need to take heed is that the same mentality needs to translate in every aspect of your life. It can't just be, oh, you know, I'm doing good at this, you know, I put my all into my job, but I get to this other area of my life and I'm slacking. Yeah. And I think that's definitely something like we all got to work on is that, you know, if you're going to do it 100% in one area of your life, it has to translate to every single area.
Let me ask y'all this though, because you said it is something that you learn over time. I'm trying to think how to word this correctly. As a young person, do you think it's they could acquire that mentality at a young age or just something that trial through error they got to go through, like a rite of passage. They got to go through shit to finally realize, you know, I am worth something. I ain't got to, you know what I mean?
Well, I think part of that is how we brought up.
Right.
And, you know, having very intentional, like, and my parents and I are so close. Like, we're so close. And I think that how you're brought up and what you're brought up around is really important in kind of developing that. Like, I know that my parents were just super intentional with everything that they did, like, for me growing up. Like, I think that part of the reason I'm even a nurse practitioner today is because of the experiences that my parents put me around. So I think that my parents did their best to kind of give me a struggle-free life. and to show me that there wasn't like any type of prerequisite to being a great Black woman or to being a great person, that, you know, I didn't have to struggle. They struggled, so I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. That's a bar.
And that's how it should be. I mean, we deserve to do the same thing for our kids. We put in the work and make their lives easier, and the cycle continues.
Exactly.
So I love that.
I want to ask you this. What's your, so if somebody that's listening to this and they think about going into the career field, it might be an aspiring nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. What's your best piece of advice for them that they could take action on, like, right now?
Ooh, if they want to be a nurse or a nurse practitioner. Yeah. That's a good one. I would say start, but also be intentional with how you start. So the biggest like regret that I noticed from other people, and I can't relate honestly because my mom was super intentional with my education and telling me like money don't grow on trees. You have 4 years. And that's all me and your father are paying for. Like, that's it. So I think that when you start and you're very intentional, like, and you look at in-state schools versus out-of-state schools, and then you look at what your long-term goals are. I tell people that all the time. If you know that you want to be a psych nurse practitioner and that's your end goal, then maybe go for a bachelor's degree first. But if you know what I want to do is be a nurse who works with injectables and basically does like Botox and things like that, you can do that with an associate's degree. So why would you go and do more school and pay more money to get the same output? Mm. It just doesn't make sense.
That makes sense, right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying like be intentional. I think, you know, people love saying success loves speed, success loves speed.
Yep.
Success also loves a thought out plan. So you got to stop and think. And people are always trying to race. Like I've had some people say, oh, I did this accelerated program. Or I did this program and I'm $80,000 in debt. And I'm like, sis, you don't even make $80,000 your first year. Make it make sense. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to slow down. I know that, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 30, almost about to be 31. You will get to where I am. But you don't want to rack up more debt. More stress, more struggle to get to where I'm at because you couldn't take 3 months and do research.
Mm-hmm. You talking that talk. That's yes, a bar right there. Speaking of debt, I want to ask you this, though. Like, so in your opinion, what's the comfortable, what do you think is the right amount of debt to take? Let's say example, because I see people that take on $100,000 a year jobs and they take on $150,000 of debt. I'm like, how does that make sense to you to take on that much debt and you're not going to make that much money? It's going to take you forever to pay that back. So what do you think is the a good amount of debt to take on? Like, I'll just ask you that.
I'm still praying that Jesus is going to pay this loan, that Joe is going to pay this loan. So for example, the only debt that I have, quite honestly, because I believe in, you know, having conversations about this and being open. I don't have any loans from undergrad, from my bachelor's degree in nursing. I don't have any debt from my first master's degree, which was a master's in leadership and management. Mm-hmm. My only debt is from my psych and P degree, and it's $50,000, which I'm not going to pay. Let me finish. The reason I'm not paying it is because I think Joe might come through. And I hope you watching this. I love you. I love you. But I'm not, I mean, I have it. I'm just waiting to see if they're going to pay it. But, and just do away with the student loans, at least for people who were, you know, helping during the pandemic. But the reason that I only took that out was because I knew how much I would possibly make as a psych and P. I looked at like the revenue income. I kind of took a step back and I said, well, if I can make, you know, $150,000, $200,000 in 1 year, it's worth it to get a $50,000 loan. Mm-hmm. But for nurses, I'm going to speak as someone who worked on the administrative side.
Right.
I never cared what school a nurse went to. I didn't. Mm. I didn't even look at their transcript. I don't care if you got a B or an A in gerontology. Did you pass the NCLEX? That's all I care about. That's all I care about. And that's all that most hospitals care about. Did you pass the NCLEX? Do you have any felonies? Okay, here you go. You can go ahead and start. Here's your scrubs.
I was gonna say, I just want to say this: we all know somebody that's a nurse or aspiring nurse. So if you listening to this, watch this. Mm-hmm. Make sure you send this to your niece, your cousin,
right.
Your sister, aunt, whatever the hell it is, your mom, whatever. Because like I said, we all know we got people in our family, friends that's nurses, aspiring nurses. So send this to them because you really giving some game for real for mm-hmm. people to elevate their life and their lifestyle quickly too. So
your
what's up,
nephews D? And your brothers, your biases.
Yeah, my biases showing again. Your nephews, that's brothers, right. You know, all that stuff. I said cousins. That could have been he, she.
Could have been anything. But I want to ask you, so besides like actual degrees and stuff like that, what certs and licenses would you say would be the best ones to get, whether it's starting now or just in general in your career? Which ones are going to be the best ones or most profitable?
So for psych and P or like for any like type just, of specialty?
Yeah, anything.
So if you're going to do like, for example, CRNA, definitely get your critical care RN certification. For psych and P, I would say honestly that having the psych certification isn't going to be like that crucial in order to getting into a program. But the most competitive programs are going to be your CRNA programs. Mm-hmm. So to be a certified registered nurse anesthetist, when you put people to sleep in the OR, okay. Those programs are super competitive to get into. But honestly, it's not as flexible as my lifestyle. But, you know, there's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I actually know someone who is a CRNA, and they can sometimes make $300,000 a year. I know someone who's a CRNA who's actually going back to school to be a family nurse practitioner because she wants to be able to work from home.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of mm-hmm. got to think about what works for you. But the certifications, like, definitely get your CCRN if you want to be a CRNA. But if you want to be a psych NP, you do have to actually pass the board exam. Mm-hmm. So it is hard, very, very hard. And they changed it again this year. Mm-hmm. I know. So I don't know what to tell you. I took the old licensing exam, so mine was bad, but I don't know if it got worse. So I would say, yeah, you need to definitely pass your boards in order to actually practice as an NP, but the certifications, they can sometimes make you more money, but your jobs will usually pay for them. So let them pay for them. Mm-hmm. Let them pay for the training and certification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I also want to touch on your ebook real quick, but before we go to that, we're going to go into our next sponsor.
Are you looking for a simple way to increase your monthly income and jumpstart your journey to financial freedom? We've cracked the code to Amazon's multi-billion dollar marketplace, and we want to introduce this lucrative opportunity to you. It's called dropshipping, and it's one of the most lucrative ways to passively make money online. What's mind-blowing is that it requires zero inventory. Our DFY commerce team has created a turnkey system to bring our preferred clients a 6 to 7 figure passive income stream, and the beauty is, the process is simple. 1. We will build and launch your store on Amazon. 2. Our team researches, curates, and lists product for you. 3. We continually optimize your store to maximize profits. 4. Our team fulfills all of your orders and customer service inquiries. The potential is endless with DFY Commerce. We are strategically looking for serious clients who are equally excited and serious about growing their income portfolio and want you to get in touch with one of our DFY Commerce team members today. Schedule a free, no obligation consultation, which will include a detailed revenue projection.
So I want to ask you, so your ebook, what does that like entail?
Which one? You know we got two.
Oh, I know you have. Okay. No. Look, we got drop all of them. So what's all of them? You can go through them.
Okay, so the first ebook that we have is called "So You Want to Be a Nurse." So these are the books that I wrote with my business partner. So the first ebook, "So You Want to Be a Nurse," is basically a comprehensive guide of like a step by step, if you will,
right.
For anyone who's interested in becoming a nurse or a travel nurse or a nurse practitioner. We kind of take people through our journey. Even though my business partner wasn't a travel nurse, I still am. I just haven't taken a contract. Well, I took a contract that got canceled. So.
Okay. I see. And what's the other one?
So the other one is called White Coat Green Bands.
Okay,
we go over our investment strategies. We go over, yeah, and Theo, like my business partner Theo, is like amazing with money. I learned so much from him, you know, because a lot of people kept asking, like, I grew my portfolio crazy during the pandemic. Like, I mean, crazy. It was crazy. Like between like my Roth IRA, and then my like my CPA is like a game changer. Me and him actually are friends. We went to school together, but it was so many things I learned from him, like doing a SEP 401k and being able to kind of put like money behind that, being able to like all that, like all the write-offs and things that you can learn as a business owner. But this book to me, White Coat, Green Bands, is like low-key my baby. Because the fear that I have for nurses and nurse practitioners is that they're going to be broke. And I never want to have to trade my time for money for the rest of my life. And I think that especially with the pandemic, it put us in a unique position because a lot of nurses had opportunities to make money that they never would have made. A lot of people step out of comfort zones in order to get money, and I feel like the same people, you know, made 100, 200, 300,000, and then they're like, all right, what do I do with this money? So I think for me, it was important to, like, kind of get out of my comfort zone because I'm kind of weird about, like, talking about, like, the money that I have. So it was kind of about me coming out of my comfort zone and then talking about, like, giving somebody a step-by-step, this is exactly what I do. This is exactly how, you know, my goal is in the next 3 years, I'm going to be a millionaire. So
I believe.
She said it here first.
Listen. I have already spoken it into existence. I talked to my wealth manager. I talked to my CPA. And I'm doing the hard work. But the thing is that what I've done isn't unique. Anyone can do this. Anyone. You just have to commit to it.
And you definitely gonna do it because you got a plan for your money. I know one thing I definitely learned over the years, if you don't got a plan for your money gonna fail you, or you gonna fail your money.
Yeah.
You gonna lose it because you gotta do something because it's easy to get a boatload of money. That's the easy part. Then when you get it, you just sitting there like, I don't know what to do. Next thing you know, you at the mall. It's easy. You at the mall. You getting a new car. You getting the upgrade in your crib. You doing a lot of stuff and it be small stuff. It's real small. You don't really pay attention to it. Then you look at a quarter go later, you like, I spent what on what? I ain't even mentioned if you going out to eat, clubbing.
Kicking it.
You could go through $100,000 in 2 months for real if you out here wilding like this. So you definitely got to have a plan for your money. Like, and that's before you get the money. You got to say, I'm about to get this money. But before I get this is my plan for before I even get it. So when I get it, I can't be thinking like, all this damn free time thinking like, what I'm gonna do? I already know what the hell I'm finna do. Boom, 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 boom. Then your money gonna start going. Then you gonna be rich as hell. That's how I go for real. Like every time. And I want to say we got a future nurse in the building, Deanna's sister Deja. So I want to say Deja, if you got any questions, you got some questions for her. Come on.
Look, she got a whole list.
Come on, come on.
Okay.
Speaking
of
mics,
so that people can hear you.
Okay. Ooh, y'all touch bases with a lot of my questions.
I know you got
some. Okay, so your backup plan. Did you have one?
What's the question?
You're very successful. Congratulations. So I know everyone has to have a goal. They have to map out their goal. So if you didn't do what you're doing today, what would your second route be?
So I would have moved to Bali, opened up Airbnbs, and live in my Airbnb. Seriously. So that's like, I think we all have like a life-changing moment. I think everyone has had like a midlife crisis, especially if you get to be 30. And for me, like I went through a really, really bad breakup. And I decided that, you know, in June, I'm just going to go to Bali and I'm going to, you know, find myself. And I've been, this is actually going to be my fourth trip to Bali. But this is the longest that I'm going to be staying there. So, I love travel. Like that's really like my love language. And I've seen how much, like I know how much I've made doing Airbnb before. And I think that would be like such a great lifestyle to be able to be a part of other people, you know, experiencing different cultures, different spaces for the first time. And, you know, getting to be able to kind of determine and write my own life. So it's kind of like what I do now. Like I create spaces that I really like, and I like, I love my house. I'm remodeling my house. He just talked about the remodel. But I got a great deal for it. So I think that would kind of be what I do.
So I got another one. Mm-hmm. So whether you didn't go through struggle, there's a lot of people struggling. What's some advice about overcoming the struggle? Because it's like a lot of people can get a lot of money for myself. Like I didn't touch a lot of money at once and then blew it on stuff. And then at the end of the day, really have nothing to show for it. So what would you really recommend?
Well, about struggle, it's okay to struggle. Mm-hmm. Just don't stay there. Mm-hmm. Don't stay there. Be intentional. I've learned the power that's behind writing things down and saying what you mean and meaning what you say and having people hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. So all of my friends, it's funny, almost all of my friends are nurses, and we've all been in spaces like, my friends are actually options traders too. That's neither here nor there, because I don't really like trading. But you know, we held each other accountable. Like at one point, we were trading together, and we would get on calls and, you know, talk about, okay, what trade are you making? You doing SPY. Okay. If you're doing SPY, why are you entering right here? Have you looked at the cloud? Like, why are you betting, or are we using strategy? So having people that hold you accountable for what you do, to me, it just takes the game to a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And just continue to be in spaces that are uncomfortable, but that push you. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say.
I think I'm at my current phase with that one. Okay.
Well, thanks. Okay.
I got one question. I know we're nearing the end, but with you being a mental health practitioner, and you know, part of having a millionaire mindset is also having a healthy mindset and a positive mindset and staying on track with that. Can you just leave us with some advice for people out there as far as taking care of your mental health and things of that nature?
Yeah. So I would say first, it's okay to be okay, to not be okay. And it's interesting because a lot of like my patients don't know, like, especially if they don't know me, if they don't follow me on social media. But I've been diagnosed with depression. I have depression, and I also have ADHD. So being aware that something is wrong is okay. And then also seeking help. Even if you don't think that you're, you know, that you're clinically depressed or that you have anxiety, it's okay to talk to someone. I know people that are in therapy and don't have a diagnosis. I think the therapist is working off of adjustment disorder. I mean, they just out here with just vibes with the diagnosis. Just vibes. And you know what? That's okay. You know, being upfront and honest with yourself is the first step to being able to move forward with any kind of treatment. So until you're upfront and honest about what you need, you're going to continue to struggle. You just are. So I would say that's the first thing. Second thing, you don't have to tell people what your business is. If you don't feel like, if you don't feel comfortable talking to people about you seeing a therapist or you being on medication, you don't have to tell anybody. The only person needs to know is your insurance company. Right. That's the only person needs to know.
That's right.
So, you know, I understand that we're in a space right now, like a unique space where, you know, mental health is kind of becoming more popular less taboo, though.
Yep.
So I feel like it's more okay to tell people, like, girl, I'm on an antidepressant. Like, I tell people all the time. they be like, oh, Morgan must have all the answers because she's a nurse practitioner, baby. I'm maxed out on my medication, okay? Let's be clear. Like, I'm not the poster child for mental health, but all I can say is that I'm trying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's enough for me at this point.
Mm. I love it. Yeah, I love it. You had anything else, D?
I could talk for hours. But for the show, that's all for me as far as questions.
What about you, Dave? You sure you ain't got no more questions?
Go ahead, girl. Lay it on me. Let's see.
Okay. I know you got some on the notebook.
Okay.
Oh, you gotta ask in the mic so they can hear you.
Okay. You went on the spot.
Okay.
So earlier you said knowing your worth. How did you sit there and map out your worth? Like, don't get me wrong, I know you put in the work, but to help someone else know, find, you know, to help them find knowing their
like
worth.
Like a patient or another nurse? Or nurse
no, just like people.
You personally. Yeah, like, just how do you figure out what your worth is?
Oh, that's a good question. Girl, you came with the question. I think you have to see how you envision yourself and knowing what you bring to the table. Like, I think that when you constantly like curate a vibe around people and people feel like safe around you, people feel secure around you. And that's just not even as a nurse or a nurse practitioner, but as a person, like I feel like I curate a vibe when people are around me that just makes them feel different. And I can't really even put my fingers on it. Mm-hmm. But like, even when I've past relationships I've been in, like, I know that I've added value to them. Like, I've taught, I turned one of my exes into a boss, like a boss. And I think that when you know your worth, sometimes other people show it to us before we even understand it.
Right.
So I think that being in those spaces with people who realize how much you're worth will show you how what you're worth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Morgan, you need a podcast.
Am I giving Oprah?
No, you give us some game. Before we wrap up, I just want to say, me and Deanna, we greatly appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, we wanted to get this done. This was an extremely dope, like super dope episode. So we really appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule to come out here and chop it up with us. But before we let you go, do you mind there plugging all your stuff where people can follow you on social media, buy the ebooks, everything?
Okay. So I have a YouTube, but I don't have no content on there. Okay. So first, I'm on Instagram and TikTok with the same handle y'all see right here, Morgan San Diego. Can I tell them why my name is San Diego really quick?
Yeah. Because
it's really important to me. So it's funny because everyone thinks that either my last name is San Diego or that I live in San Diego.
I thought it was your last name.
No. No. So first of all, it's never going to change. I don't care how many followers I get on either platform. It's never going to change. So, when I was like halfway through school, I didn't know if I really wanted to be a psych MP. Like, I'm super passionate about derm because y'all can see my skin now, but my skin was horrible. I mean horrible, like for the last 2 years because of the masks. So anyway, I was kind of like halfway through school. I was probably like maybe 6 months from being done. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. So my uncle had passed away, and he passed away from a drug overdose. And we had this running joke. He would always call me Hollywood because he said I was always going somewhere and doing something. And he said, like, I remember one time he said, girl, you like Carmen San Diego. And that just stuck with me. So when he died, I just remember like leaving the funeral, leaving the repast, and having to go to clinical. And I was like, you know, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And honestly, some of my favorite clients, my favorite patients are my Suboxone patients. So those are patients who have, you know, struggled with opiates in the past. And I think every single time, and this is what I deal with in therapy, is, you know, the things that I carry from, you know, his death into my patients. And it's like every single time I treat one of my patients, it's like I'm treating him and I'm looking at him. And I just know that whatever divine power you believe in, I just believe that God just gives us second chances and second opportunities to make things right with people. And I think that that's my opportunity. So my name is going to forever be Morgan San Diego.
That makes sense now, because I'm like, man, I think she's from San Diego. I was talking to somebody. I was like, yeah, she's from San Diego. She's a nurse.
Yeah, I was telling people your last name. But I like this way better.
But Deanna, what's your info for wrapping up?
And you can follow me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent, and YouTube as well, and TikTok.
Yeah, I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.
Oh, we know you.
What else out there? Everything. Everything you got you can think of, I'm there at Xavier C. Miller. Y'all make sure y'all follow me. And Dage, what's your info as well so that people can follow you?
I'm just on Instagram, Dage.K0.
You on TikTok?
I don't know my TikTok name.
Oh, Lord. That's all we got for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Yeah.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier, y'all gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Have your thighs ever chafed? Chafe is no joke, but thanks to Megababe, it's also no problem. Megababe's Thigh Rescue glides onto skin so that chafe is a thing of the past. Experience what 10,000 five-star reviewers rave about at megababebeauty.com.